And our second reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, from the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, which is the series that we're looking at the moment. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us today. And we pray that you would help us to have ears to hear. Keep our hearts soft and our minds open. May we allow your spirit to speak to us. And may we be able to receive your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Bobby had a comfortable life with a spacious home, a fast car, and golf club membership. But after 12 years of productive service, Bobby was suddenly released from his company. His world as he knew it was shattered. And as each new job application resulted in nothing, Bobby's lifestyle wasn't the only thing to change, as he was forced to address new kinds of fears, anxiety, and big issues around where his identity was found. Michelle was a popular girl who seemed to be able to turn her hand at anything. She was captain of the netball team, she was studying well for her GCSEs, and above all, she was always surrounded by friends. But a sudden virus forced her to have a month off school. When she returned, her friends seemed to have forgotten all about her. Instead of being the centre of attention, Michelle now found herself being left out of conversations. She frequently found herself on her own and began overhearing stories of social events that she'd been excluded from. Michelle began to lose confidence in herself and in her abilities, and her work began to suffer quite drastically too. And Lee was a determined guy who had a dream. Since he'd been a small boy, the only thing that mattered to him was football. Lee's dream was to play in the Premier League and possibly even for England. And he thought his dream was beginning to come true when he was signed up for the youth team of a top London club. Lee trained hard, he stayed focused, and his commitment was rewarded when he made it to the reserves. Just as he thought his dream was going to come true, Lee was involved in an accident and ruined his football career for good. Lee's dreams were in pieces, and he struggled to see how he would cope in the future. Three people who found that the life they enjoyed and the world they depended upon changed for the worse. And I really believe that many of us this morning could write in our own names and our own stories where unexpected difficulties have pulled the rug from under our feet, leaving our dreams shattered or our life in pieces. Perhaps these stories seem a strange place to start this morning as we're thinking about harvest and we're considering the words of Jesus that we've just heard. Jesus said, "Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them." And I'd like to take a few moments this morning to unpack what Jesus is saying in these few very wise words, and to consider what these words might mean to people like the stories that we've just heard from those three, and to people like you and like me. As we begin to explore this phrase, I just want to clarify a couple of things that I think Jesus wasn't saying in this statement. Now, firstly, I think Jesus wasn't saying that receiving the kingdom of heaven and knowing God will make you exempt from life's sufferings, will make you happy all the time. You know, I cringe when I hear stories of people who meet with someone whose world has just fallen apart and tell them to rejoice in Jesus and everything will be okay again. Don't get me wrong, I certainly believe that Jesus is the answer to all that we face in life. But knowing Jesus doesn't deny the reality of the pain, doesn't bring unending happiness. Knowing Jesus enables Jesus to walk with us and helps us to bear life in the challenges. And secondly, I don't believe that Jesus was saying that you have to be poor and destitute to enter or to receive God's kingdom. In fact, the word poor that Jesus uses here actually had a different meaning to being in literal material need. If you read these verses in Luke's gospel, you will hear that Luke talks about the poor. But Matthew clarifies the use of this word poor by adding this word spiritually poor. Now, this word that Jesus meant actually meant to be humble, and it meant to be dependent completely on God. When you hear the word poor, sometimes people can think it has negative connotations. It means we're lacking in something. If anything, the word poor that Jesus used was a positive term because it denoted an attitude that people had towards God that was a good and right attitude. So what Jesus was saying is that those who trust in God wholeheartedly, those who depend in him for everything, they find fulfillment and happiness through Jesus and are enabled to discover the good things in the kingdom of God. Whether you're relatively wealthy, whether you're struggling to make ends meet, whether you're popular, whether you feel isolated and alone, whether you're doing your dream job, whether you're looking for a new start. In every situation we find ourselves in, we're faced with a choice. Do we choose to trust and depend on God, or do we go it alone? I have to say, from my own experience, I know that God can always be trusted. That however life may change, for better and for worse, God will always be there. And God can always be depended upon. But that doesn't necessarily make it easy to always depend on God. There are always lots of distractions and disappointments that might easily turn our focus away from him. And I think this is what Jesus was perhaps thinking of as he told the story of the farmer sowing the seed, the story that we heard Scott reading for us earlier. The parable speaks of God's word going out and being received in a number of different ways. Some take no notice and don't take the time to explore and question what they hear, so it makes no impact. Some think it sounds good, but then other priorities and concerns crowd in and turn their attention away. Some initially respond and begin to follow Jesus. But then they decide life is easier without God. Only good soil produces good fruit. But what is the good soil that Jesus is talking about? I think this good soil is what he was referring to in that one verse, the first bit of the Beatitudes. The good soil is those who acknowledge their need for God, those who put their trust in him and depend on him, those who are able to look to God when life is amazing and when the world falls apart. At first glance, as you hear that story of the soil, it might sound like the different types of soil are like different sorts of people that Jesus is describing. Some people respond to Jesus' message, some people reject it. And whilst that may well be true, I'd like to emphasise this morning that the different styles aren't only about different types of people. They may well be each one of us at different times in our own life. So the question I'd like you to consider this morning is, which soil are you today? Which soil are you right now? Perhaps you've been following Jesus for a very long time. Life may be comfortable. Life may be really challenging. Let me ask you, are you able to trust Jesus for all that you are experiencing? Are you able to depend upon him through it all? Or have you allowed yourselves to be distracted by the worries and concerns you have? Perhaps distracted by other priorities, maybe other things that have made you self-sufficient, perhaps even self-important, and allowed you to take your eyes off of Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning and you haven't thought about God in a very long time. Perhaps you've never even given him much thought. What kind of soil are you today? And what kind of soil do you really want to be? It can be easy to think that the only things that distract us from God are bad things. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. When you read the Bible and listen to the way that Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, you'll learn that the Pharisees were all good and very religious men, but they were dependent on their knowledge of the scriptures and on their ability to keep the law, and they missed the point of Jesus' teaching. They trusted in their own actions rather than trusting in God. Likewise, in our stories earlier, we don't know from those incidents where God featured in the lives of Bobby and Lee and Michelle. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy, with having a career, with being popular. In fact, I believe they are good gifts that need to be celebrated. But I do think that Jesus' words to us this morning remind us of the importance of never relying only on our own achievements and talents and successes. We need to be able to trust God with all the things that we've been blessed with, as well as the struggles that we face. It's not only bad things that can distract us and make us self-sufficient. There are all kinds of things that can be seemingly good, but can still take our eyes away from God. That's why I think it's so good today to be able to celebrate harvest. Harvest reminds us of the importance of being thankful to God for the food that we have every day, the food that we often take for granted. And it shows how dependent we really are on the God that provides for us. Earlier on, we heard an extract about the project in Peru. Sacred Soil is what it's called. And Scott and Anjanette are working hard to bring good things out of people's lives. They're working with people physically, using the soil that's there, trying to help people to grow crops, trying to help them to rebuild their lives after they've been destroyed by the floods. But they're also working with people spiritually, enabling them to hear about Jesus, enabling them to have the opportunity to choose to depend on him and to trust him. It was interesting in that video that we saw, one of the guys, I think it was Manuel, he talked about the fact that now they were having good seed to plant. He said, we haven't just about got a harvest. We've got a harvest and it's a good harvest. And it reminded me also of the spiritual work that Scott and Anjanette are doing. People aren't just enabled to live. They are enabled to have a better life, a life that is filling because it's the kind of life that God intends them to have. Unlike the people in Peru that Scott and Anjanette are working with, each one of us has a choice today. Whether we've never considered following Jesus, whether we've been a Christian for 50 plus years, there's a challenge here for every single one of us. If we want to be the good soil, the soil that bears good fruit, to reach our potential, to achieve much for God, then we need to take seriously those words from Jesus. We need to recognise that when we're spiritually poor, when we're humble and dependent on God, then as we learn to trust him, so we will find fulfilment and happiness in his kingdom. As for Bobby, Michelle and Lee, I'd like to tell you that their stories ended happily. But like us, they each have a choice as well. In many ways, I think we could probably write our own ending to their stories. I certainly know of people like Lee, who trusted in God as their dreams were shattered and discovered a new and different purpose in life that brought them happiness. I know of people like Michelle, who found acceptance in a God who loved her unconditionally, who never abandoned her, and that rebuilt her confidence and enabled her to achieve more than she ever dreamt of. And I know of people like Bobby, who recognised the importance of family and friends through hitting a financial crisis, and who reordered his priorities as a result. I hope you know people like them too, but perhaps like me, you know others too who made a different choice. This morning, I'd like you to take the opportunity to consider the choice that you will make. If we humble ourselves and acknowledge our need for God, if we put our trust in him, then Jesus promises us that we will receive his kingdom and will enter a fullness of life that is more amazing than we can ever imagine. And it's the kind of life we were created for, the one that God longs for us to have. Let's take a few moments of silence to reflect on God's word, and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you long for us to have life in all its fullness. You long for us to have so much more than we can begin to imagine. And loving God, I pray for each one of us this morning that you will help us to acknowledge our need for you, to have the courage to put our trust in you and to depend on you. Whether life is good and comfortable and we feel like we don't need much in our own lives, whether life is a challenge and we are brokenhearted and we can't see the way ahead. Lord, please give us the strength to look to you, to receive your guidance, and above all, to choose to follow you and trust in you with everything. In Jesus' name, amen.